This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
And that pill, that prescription medication that the doctor gave us, was going to be the pill that would fix our family. And at first things were great. He was calming down slightly. He was able to play with his baby brother without whacking him across the face. But then the dosage increased and the side effects became worse and worse. And his doctor prescribed another prescription to counteract the side effects of the first one. And this continued until my son, who was now 5, was on 3 very strong medications. And when the doctor suggested the 4th one to counteract some new side effects, I just couldn't do it anymore. And, you know, I knew that there had to be a better way.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I'm your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by the delightful and not quite well today, Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you? I'll give you a ha. There you go. I'm going to share it all with you guys today.
Yeah, because COVID got you and put you down. Yeah,
it's not as bad as it was last time, but it's still bad enough that it's like, I am definitely not there. The benefit of our job, we get to work from home. So I didn't have to worry about infecting anybody else. Honestly, I just have to roll out of bed. Pretty much it. Today I put on makeup for the first time in like 4 days. So like that was a positive. But the hardest part is the talking, because that's the one thing in our job we have to have is a voice.
We have to talk. Yeah. We have to talk and have the energy too. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard.
You don't have the voice. It's hard.
But you showed up for this interview, Bree.
Of course.
Like, you were here and you did it. And what we're talking about today is ADHD and how to manage it naturally. And this interview, it is one of our Happy Mom Summit speakers. Her name is Donna Kay. She is the board certified holistic health and nutrition practitioner. She's a 2-time international best-selling author and the CEO and founder of the ADHD Thrive Institute, which helps families find freedom from ADHD symptoms so that children with ADHD can thrive at home, at school, and in life. And we really get practical and nitty-gritty with Donna. She will have a specific example for you on how you can really start experimenting and changing your kids' food to see if it affects their ADHD symptoms. So now, on with the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Donna, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. I'm excited because you and I, we've already done a kind of an interview together and two interviews together.
Your
podcast.
Yes.
And the Happy Mom Summit. Yes. So this is like old hat for us.
We're old friends.
And I know that people listening right now can probably hear the accent in your voice. So tell us where you're from and what you do.
Well, I am from sunny Seattle. No, I'm joking. I live in sunny Seattle. We were just saying it was raining. Rainy Seattle, but originally from Australia. Have been in the US for about 9 years now. I don't think I'm ever going to lose the accent.
Have you found it's changed at all since you lived here?
No, it's interesting. I roll my R's now on some words. So my son's name is, I've got two boys, Asher and Oliver. But you spell them A-S-H-E-R-O-L-I-V-E-R. And so I remember when they were younger and I was at the playground and I would have to say Asher, Oliver, because especially with Asher's name, everyone would think I was saying like Usher, like the singer. Oh my gosh, your son's named after the...
Oh no.
It's Usher.
You're like, not quite.
No, definitely not like the singer. But so I find I do roll my R's so people can understand me.
Interesting.
Yeah. I asked because I dated an Australian when I was 18 years old. I met him we were camp counselors back east. And I could understand him while he was here, but then he went back to Australia. And when I was on the phone with him, like a few months later, I couldn't understand him anymore because his accent had gotten so much thicker. Not completely not understand. It was just harder.
Yeah.
Like it was a thicker accent.
And that's what happens when I go back to Australia to visit my family. I do fall back into much more of a stronger Aussie accent than I would do if I was here.
Yeah, I found it fascinating. I love the Aussie accent. And I was also told about the American accent, which us Americans were like, we don't have an accent. It's like the absence of an accent. But really, there is one, as you saw with Asher. And
yes, exactly. There's definitely an accent. I'm the one that doesn't have the accent. You are the ones that have the accent.
It's how it is. Well, you're the founder of the ADHD Thrive Institute. And this is so fascinating to me because I'm diagnosed ADHD. My whole family's diagnosed ADHD. And by family, I mean like my father and my sister. And ADHD plagues a lot of the No Guilt Mom family. And I don't want to say plagues because there are really a lot of superpowers with it. But tell us your story and about why you are a proponent of what you are when it comes to ADHD.
Yeah, look, believe it or not, and I probably shouldn't say this out loud, I was actually an accountant in a past life. Yeah. I don't know. I look at myself now and I'm like, how could have I ever thought that was a good career for me? But I thought that I'd always continue to be in that space. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until my son's health started to get worse. And I always had this gut instinct that there was something a little bit different about him. My best friend in Australia is a doctor and I'd always say, oh, do you think he's got autism? Do you think he's got ADHD? And she's like, don't be ridiculous. You know, he's just a boy. And that's what our pediatrician said to us. Oh, he's just a boy. He's got lots of energy. Oh, he's just a boy. The teacher would say, oh, he's just a boy. Don't worry. He's got lots of energy. But I had this gut instinct that there was something a little bit else going on. And he'd have these meltdowns and these tantrums on a daily basis. You know, our whole life would be put on hold when that was happening. We would miss events because he was having these mammoth meltdowns. And that's okay when you're two, terrible twos. But then when you get to the threes and then you get to the fours and they're happening on a daily basis. They're lasting for an hour and a half, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's not normal. It's a lot. And so, you know, when that started to become apparent in the school environment and the teachers started to notice it, that's when the doctor started to pay attention. And he was diagnosed with ADHD. He was actually diagnosed quite young. He was diagnosed at the age of four. And he was immediately put on medication. And I say this a lot, but at first I do remember feeling this sense of relief. Right. I wasn't a bad mum.
I'm not crazy.
It wasn't my fault. Yes, I'm not crazy. Right. And that pill, that prescription medication that the doctor gave us was going to be the pill that would fix our family.
All the help.
Oh, exactly. In the whole world. And at first things were great. He was calming down slightly, his meltdown slightly reduced. He was able to play with his baby brother without whacking him across the face. But then the dosage increased and the side effects became worse and worse. And his doctor prescribed another prescription to counteract the side effects of the first one. And this continued until my son, who was now 5, was on 3 very strong medications. And when the doctor suggested the fourth one to counteract some new side effects that popped up, you know, he wasn't able to sleep, he was losing weight, he was having terrible anxiety, which is not like him at all. I just couldn't do it anymore. And, you know, I knew that there had to be a better way. And that's when my career path completely changed. I went back to school. I did my holistic health science degree, multiple specific certifications in this area, and I really learned how food can affect so many aspects of our life. I learned that the gut-brain connection was such a big component of ADHD. I learned that ADHD symptoms can be reduced naturally and that medication wasn't the only way. Now, today, my son, he's 14. He is thriving. He hasn't been on meds for years. He is a straight A student, but honestly, that does not bother me one bit. If he was a C student, I would not care. The most important thing is he's happy and my family is happy and we have a normal life. You know, we have peace. We have that calm, as much as a family with 2 boys can have calm, but we have normal level of calm and normal level of peace. And, you know, we're just happy. And once I learned, you know, about that importance of food and these natural approaches on behavior and the brain, and once I saw the changes that these strategies had on my own family, I honestly couldn't keep this information to myself. I really didn't want anyone else have to go through those struggles that my family went through. And over the years, I've been lucky enough to help over 1,000 other families get to that same place as me, but just a little bit quicker.
That's really cool. And we have a lot of food questions because I know there's a lot of confusion kind of around ADHD and a lot of things that you see online. You're like, don't eat red dye number, you know, those kind of articles. And we're going to get into the specifics right after this. Hey, all, it is Joanne.
And Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory, 2 moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So, join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. Because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking it. So talking about the specifics of food and ADHD, first of all, I want to ask you, Donna, those things we see online about don't eat this for ADHD or this is the cause of all of your kids' behaviors, is there much stock in that or do you feel like those are just for the clickbait?
I do think that there's thought into it, but I want to say that diet's not the only thing that we need to approach, you know, reducing ADHD symptoms naturally. And I want to do a bit of an analogy, if I can. It's a bit of a funny analogy. Oh, yeah. And I don't know if, is this podcast just audio or?
It's video as well.
Okay, fabulous. Well, I will try to use this analogy in a way that can be heard and seen.
Yes. And also, everybody who sees this analogy, go to the No Guilt Mom YouTube channel and we have it posted there.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is obviously evidence that you can be genetically predisposed to ADHD. As Joanne, you have said, your family is your sister and yourself are...
And my father, yeah.
And your father mm-hmm. affected by ADHD. However, it doesn't mean that it is your destiny to struggle with these symptoms. It doesn't mean that these symptoms can't be reduced or removed altogether in some cases. So, you know, when I think about contributors and based on my experience, I like to use this analogy and I'm holding up a little trash can. It probably shouldn't be the recycled one. So let's ignore the recycle thing here. And I like to... I say that we're all sort of born with this internal metaphorical trash can in our bodies. And really the goal through life is to keep that trash can as empty as possible. You know, we want to keep the toxic load in our body low. However, we're not all born with an empty trash can. My son, for example, he was induced with medication because he wasn't growing. He came out, was given medication to boost up his lungs. He was put on a CPAP machine. And so his trash can had a little bit of stuff in it already. Now, our trash can keeps filling up over time with these inflammatory substances, and one of those is diet, poor diet. One of those are toxins from whatever we're exposed to. One of them might be bacteria or parasites that when we're swimming in a lake that we've picked up. One of them might be medication, and that all contributes to an overflowing trash can. Now, our body's designed to work to keep emptying that trash can. So like if you take the picture of let's put our trash can out to the side of the road on a Monday so the garbage truck can pick it up. But some of us are born with genetics where we can't as easily empty our trash can. And when it gets too full, meaning that our detoxification pathways in our bodies aren't working well, our trash can overflows, and that's when symptoms get exacerbated. That's when inflammation gets spread into our body and symptoms start to show up and symptoms start to get quite strong where you are struggling. You know, that's what's happening with a lot of our kids with ADHD. Their trash can is full. It's overflowing in their body. It's filled with inflammation and we need to reduce that. And so, yes, bad diet, poor diet does fill that trash can up, but it's not the only thing that fills that trash can up. So when you see red 40, it's real. You know, there are a lot of studies out there that show red 40 exacerbates hyperactivity and impulsivity in kids with ADHD and in kids without ADHD. Actually, UK and Australia have warning labels on their products that says, this contains something that can induce hyperactivity in children. They're required to have that warning label.
They do have that. And from what I heard from the warning labels, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, like the UK and other countries outside of America, they have a policy where if something could happen as a result of ingesting it, they will warn about it. Whereas America has the policy where if something has been scientifically shown with reasonable evidence, that's when they'll warn about it instead. Yeah,
100%.
Because I think that gets confused because I think it's like, oh, America's so down on it. And I'm like, well, it's just like different reasons they put it on there.
Well, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. You have to prove to the FDA that a food will cause issues before they'll remove it out or they'll put a warning label. Whereas you have to prove to, say, the UK government that a food is safe for you, which is probably the right way to go. Does that mean that we can all drink, you know, bleach because no one has actually proven to the FDA that it actually causes issues in food? It's sort of like it seems backwards to me.
I mean, I think it's for like a chemical standpoint. If we're looking at like the red 40 where you're trying to prove that it's safe, we all know that like large amounts of red 40, not a good idea. Not a good idea to give to anybody. Mm-hmm. Just like large amounts of say something that's completely okay. Like say it's Bree is sick right now. Dayquil. Brie cannot have bottles and bottles of DayQuil.
I can't just chug it?
You can't just chug it. Can't just chug it. Whereas it would be hard to prove it because you can't give that amount. I just think there's a lot of fear when it comes to this, and I don't want people to go at it with a fear approach, but rather just, you know, an informed approach and saying, hey, like, these are the things to test and try in your own life and with your own kids. And if this makes it an effect, totally do that experimentation. Yeah. See how it works. And you've done that experimentation with your son and it worked really well for him.
100%. And, you know, I will say with families, like the things that we talk about, just want to say Rome wasn't built in a day. You don't need to do every single thing in a day, 100%. That's what I did. I ended up with multiple panic attacks, lying on the floor in my bedroom and not being able to handle it. So that's definitely not what I teach. It's like that small, slow steps. And just as your podcast name is No Guilt, No Guilt Mum, there's no guilt at all for me. If your child is on medication, that is okay. There is a time and place for medication, and I'm not against it at all.
Yeah, it all depends what works for people. But what I'm really interested in is like the general day-to-day food that your son eats. What was really the thing? What did his diet look like before you tried this diet approach to ADHD, and what does it look like now?
Yeah, look, I thought that we ate a pretty healthy diet, but there were foods that were exacerbating his symptoms and I didn't know it. And you don't know it until you take them out and you test it. And so, you know, we in Australia, obviously back then I lived in Australia and we eat a lot of meat, veggies, pasta, all of that sort of stuff. But now it's really more whole foods. We've reduced the amount of packaged foods that we eat and we're really focusing on real food. Really at the end of the day, it's real food. You know, our pasta is not made with wheat. And it really is the same. We have tacos every Tuesday. Okay. Monday, I make the same food. I make sausages, oven fries, a cucumber and carrots. And so, you know, I am not a gourmet chef. I will be the first one to say that I don't like cooking. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't like to be in the kitchen. My sister, on the other hand, is the opposite.
I don't like cooking. Well, I do like cooking, but I like the creativity component of cooking. And I don't like it if I have to do it every single day. Like then that becomes something different. That is an expectation.
Yes.
That is not joyous, creative, yummy cooking, which, by the way, it also is hard for moms when you spend all this time cooking and then your kids are like, no, I won't have that. I'll eat something else tonight.
Oh my gosh. Just look at it. Just look at it and go, nope, I don't think so.
Well, I am one to say in my house, sorry, that's what we're having. You've got to eat it. If you don't want it, that's your choice, but kitchen's closed. I will not be a short order cook. I made that very clear in my house. I don't like cooking. And it's like, you know, if you have Taco Tuesday every Tuesday, you just adjust the tacos to be a little bit different. And that becomes your new normal. So it's not like you're, yes, at first it's overwhelming, but that's why I say Rome wasn't built in a day. So you make these small changes. Let's start with one dinner at a time. Let's not try to like overhaul our whole diet in day one. Let's just start with one dinner at a time. Let's start.
I want to take apart those tacos, Donna, and we're going to do it right after this break.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. While you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, let's talk about the tacos, because I think that's something that we can make really concrete for people. So when you say like there's some little changes to tacos, like what do you do to the tacos?
Yeah, definitely. So corn is one of those things that is highly genetically modified. And I'm not going to go into what GMOs are, but you've probably heard the non-GMO organic mm-hmm. sort of side of things. And so 95% of corn crops are actually genetically modified and sprayed with pesticides. And so, you know, pesticides do contribute to the load in the trash mm-hmm. can. So we want to minimize them as much as possible. I'm not saying eat organic for everything. We have a guide. Every family's different. Every family has a different budget. Not everyone can afford whole organic. And so we pick and choose what we focus on. Corn is one of those ones that it's like, focus on organic if you're going to eat corn. So we buy organic hard shell corn tacos. First change.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
Super easy. Okay. When you brown your meat and you sprinkle in the taco seasoning, I just buy a different brand rather than the old El Paso or whatever the brand is, because if you have
Kroger,
a
store brand, there's a pack in my pantry right now. Yes.
So you can just swap out the brand. If you actually look at the ingredients on the back, if you don't recognize what some of those ingredients are, just put it back on the shelf and get one where you do. The fewer ingredients in something is better, and ones that you can actually pronounce. And so I just buy a different brand of taco seasoning again. Not hard, just changing out, swapping it out. We have brown meat, taco seasoning. I buy a good salsa that, again, is real food. It's not something that's got chemicals in it. It's not something that's got artificial flavors in it or artificial colors. It's literally salsa that's made from tomato, onion, garlic.
Yeah.
I make up some guacamole. We put shredded lettuce. We put cut up tomatoes. I like onions in my tacos. Some people don't. And we
depends
don't.
Depends if they're raw or not. That for me,
I like raw onions in
you
my
like
tacos.
The raw, you like
have
the
to
raw
make onions. You some pickled onions. Pickled onions are so yummy.
I'll eat any raw pickled onions. Yeah.
Well, in a pico de gallo, you can put some lime juice, and that's like a cooking in Mexican.
There
style.
You go. Yeah. And you can do pico de gallo if that's what you want. Mm-hmm. Just look at what you put in your tacos and just maybe buy a little bit of a different seasoning or buy a little bit of the different shells. And we don't use cheese on our tacos. And so that would probably be the biggest change for families. There is dairy-free cheese out there. I don't love it. A lot of it's not that healthy because it's got a lot of additives in it as well. There are better for you brands that don't have those additives, but I don't love it. It's not the same. So I just do without. That's it.
So what I'm hearing is real food that is not processed. That's a pretty easy change to make. I mean, all those things you mentioned are pretty easy. The like pushback I hear from people is the expense. But it's also like you have to think with the expense. What are you trading it for?
Yeah.
Are you trading it for health or are you trading it for like long-term wellness? And then putting the money up front actually prevents a lot of the expense in the back end.
100%. I would love for this to change one day. I would love to see healthy food be the same price or even cheaper than processed CRAP. That's a tangent for another day. But again, it is about that mindset change. You know, you have to look at it, even though these cheaper bad food choices may seem like they're easier and better for the budget today, they actually cost us more in the long run in the forms of tantrums, meltdowns, unable to focus at school, those sort of things. So when I had that mindset shift, it helped me a lot because I would much rather have a slightly higher grocery bill today and a happier, healthier, peaceful family than a lower grocery bill, that constant tantrums of a child whose body's racked with inflammation.
Yeah.
It's really funny with American grocery stores because I didn't realize how different it was from other countries until I went to Berlin and I was in this big shopping mall called the KDV. And on the fourth floor, they have the American aisle. On the American aisle, it was like compared to the rest of the food in there, you looked at it, you're like, this is complete crap. It's all the jarred stuff. It's all the processed stuff. It's usually all the stuff you find right in the middle of the grocery store. But you could see the difference in quality based in the American aisle and all the other aisles, which like looked so fresh, and so good and so delicious. So
you use ketchup as an example. Ketchup with the same brand in the US has different ingredients of that in the same brand in the UK and Australia.
Yeah, well, we have the thing with Coke because, you know, here in Arizona, we're very close to Mexico. And so some places stock Mexican Coke. And it's always better because Mexican Coke has sugar and American Coke has corn syrup. And like you can taste the difference in it. Now, the sugars isn't a great example for eating healthy, but it just shows like different countries totally use different ingredients. Well, this has been such a great conversation, Donna. And what are you excited about that's coming up for you?
I am excited about the upcoming summit.
Ah, the Happy Mom Summit. It is a good time. It's a good time. It really is.
No, I'm excited about that and all of the experts sharing their knowledge and their experience.
Yeah, and it's great because you'll get to meet all of our participants when you're doing your live Q&A in there. So if you want to come and meet Donna and ask Donna your questions, we have a link to that Happy Mom Summit right below for a free ticket. And you could actually get Donna's interview now if you get the VIP pass. So you should get that when you register. But Donna, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing all this. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I was just listening to Rhythm Nation 2 at your house. That was my 5-4 when Janet Jackson counts it in and you go to the Rhythm Nation. We are a part of a Rhythm Nation. I love that album. I love it so much. I haven't listened to it since 8th grade. And I was over at Bree's house on Friday and she's like, pick a record. And I'm going through Miguel's record and I saw that and I'm like, oh, this is it.
And I was like, he'll be so happy. He'll be so happy. He loves that album.
I love it too. It's one of those albums I loved and I forgot existed. You know, it brought me so much joy. And it
brings
you
back to your childhood, right?
Yeah, it gets wiped up. Well, this discussion with Donna was interesting, the managing ADHD. I get a little fiery when it comes to holistic health practices and like natural practices, because I feel like there's a lot of misinformation out there that people tend to like take as fact. Not Donna. Donna is very well informed and really engaged, but like things like I mentioned in the interview, how the UK judges food ingredients differently than the US does. And I think it's important to note because it's all in the nuance. Like we have a society today, Bree, that does not take nuance well.
No, it's an all or nothing society, man. Yeah. And it's a magic pill as well. Not only is it all or nothing, it's whatever this new idea is, it's going to make everything better. It's going to solve it all. And like you just said, it's all about taking a piece here, taking a piece there. Like Donna said, there is a time and a place for medication. It is still a very valid practice, but at the same time, there are little things that you can do to change and have better results as well that are just that simple as changing up your taco night. I love that. And all the things that she said were like totally doable. I'm like, oh, yeah, I could totally do that.
Yeah, no, they're totally simple. I've seen like the other extreme where people like go totally natural, but they don't go totally natural in a logical way where it's like, oh, this is bad for you and this is bad for you. And then it comes with all of these foods they're avoiding and they're not living a life they're happy with anymore. Do you know what I mean? They're like structured. And it's the only thing I can equate it to is when I was really sick and it was before I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. Mm-hmm. And I was refusing to go to the GI because I did not want a colonoscopy. And I did not want anyone near my butt. That's the reason. Like,
I don't blame you. It's an exit only area. I feel the same way.
But it was also one of those things that was like really impacting my life. I would have horrible stomach pains. I would be like running to the toilet. And it was all like, oh, I have a gluten sensitivity. Oh, I shouldn't be eating these foods. And I would try one thing after another. And you would think in your mind, yes, that works. That works. And then it doesn't work anymore. Where in reality, if I had just gone to the doctor and gotten a full checkup and submitted to the colonoscopy, I would have had my pain taken away a lot sooner. And so like I see other people in my life right now living that way where they're refusing to do traditional medicine and they're only doing this, the natural route, but they're not well researched on the natural route. And so that is why I push back. I push back hard against it because I want people to do what's best for them, but I don't want you to stay in pain if something's not working. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
So that's my own personal thing on that. But you can catch more of Donna in the Happy Mom Summit. It is going March 4th to the 8th. We have that registration link down below. It is a free event, but as always, we highly recommend that VIP pass. You can get all the sessions now. You could submit all of your questions to the speakers and you get a workbook, which like people say the workbook is the best part, Bree. I know we get that every single year. Like the favorite thing about the VIP pass is that workbook.
It's immensely helpful. It's awesome. It walks you through every single presentation, hits every single major point that every speaker wants you to know. And you've got it all in one organized spot. So that's what makes it amazing. I personally, though, really love the searchable transcripts as well and the private podcast feed that comes along with it. Those are phenomenal. And did we mention we have over 30 speakers at this event?
Yeah.
So the amount of information, it's phenomenal.
And it's a party, guys. It is such a party. If you've not been to one of our summits, oh my gosh, it's a party. We are in Mighty Networks. We are having fun. We are dancing. And you'll meet so many cool new people there. Come on over. But until next time, remember, the best mom is a happy mom. Take care of you. And we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.